our debut pilot show right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network, broadcasting live from our studios here in New York and the great city of Boston. My name is Paul Cuthbert. I am manning the board here in New York, but it's time to bring the host of our show, the great Sean Hutchins. Sean, good afternoon to you, sir, and how are you?
I'm doing great, Paulie. How are you?
I'm good. I know it's this is a tough start here to kick things off with the way the Bruins are playing, and obviously that tough loss in Florida last night. But before we go into everything, why don't you just kind of talk to everybody here a little bit for the fans and what they can expect here on the Boston Hockey Show for, you know, unfortunately, if the Bruins season ends this weekend, we are coming back next year. But give everybody a little bit of taste to let everybody know about you and what you do with the fourth period and your connection with the Boston Bruins.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, I'm just thrilled to have this opportunity to talk Boston Bruins hockey with you and people who we will be bringing in throughout the course of next season, and maybe even this season. We'll have to wait and see how long this season goes. But with the fourth period magazine and its website, I've been covering the Bruins. That's my fourth year of doing that, and I get to, you know, behind the scenes. I'm at almost every game. I'm at quite a few practices. I'm in the room after games and after practices. I'm talking to players, talking with coaches, and you know, getting the behind the scenes look that fans don't normally get to see. I'm very lucky, very fortunate to do that, and I try to bring it forward so that everyone can see what's going on with the team, not only on the ice, but off the ice as well, and to see, maybe give them, everyone, a little bit of an insight as to why things happen the way they do, why decisions are made the way they are, and just kind of let the fans know that this is your team, win or lose, and these are the things that are going on, and this is the reason why.
Absolutely. Sounds great. I know we got the right guy for the job here on the network, and, you know, getting to know you here over the last couple of months, Sean, pleasure to have you on board here. You do some great work with the fourth period, and we follow you here on Twitter as well, and we're excited to have you on board here. And obviously, you know, between everybody down here on the network here covering the Rangers, the Sabres, and the Devils now, we're moving our shows into other cities too, Montreal, Toronto, L.A. as well too. And we're really excited to have you on board and talking Boston hockey and beyond the Bruins. Sean, I know you do, you know, some minor hockey, some junior hockey. Obviously, we got a you know, big weekend here with the Frozen Four. Maybe we can just kind of touch on that real quick before we, because you know the Bruins, we got to get in depth about this and what's going on and unfortunately the way this season is rolling down for them. But talk about, you know, BU and Providence here in the Frozen Four. Have you been following it? What have you thought of the tournament so far? And your thoughts on how things are going to unfold here in the championship game, and who are the big guys that have stood out for you in the tournament?
Yeah, that's a great question. I appreciate that. I see quite a few Hockey East games. I cover the UMass Lowell Riverhawks for the Lowell Sun newspaper, and I see almost every game that they play in. I'm at every home game and a few road games here and there when possible. Hockey East is just, in my mind, is the best college hockey conference there is out there. And I think by having both teams in the national championship game from Hockey East, it bears that out. Providence College kind of had an up-and-down year. They were expected to have a great year, but they were a little up-and-down at points. But they finished very strong, and in this tournament, they have just done nothing but get better and better, almost on a per-shift basis. And so they are where they deserve to be. And, of course, they have the outstanding goaltender in John Gillies, who has a gold medal from the World Championships a couple years ago, playing a backstopping USA to that championship. He was a Calgary Flame draft pick, so the Flames are looking forward to seeing him in red and black and gold soon. And team is just a real team. They don't have any other than Gillies and maybe a couple players. They really don't have big stars, but they play a system and they stick to the system that Coach Nate Lehman has mapped out for them, and it works. And that's why they will be playing for the national championship on Saturday night. Also, Boston University. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, man. Go. Okay, don't mind me, Boston. Sean. This is all you, brother. We're in two cities,
right.
So there's a little bit of a pause there. So don't worry about it, man. Keep firing away.
Okay, thank you. No, as I say, in Boston University, that from start to finish, they were pretty much the best team in Hockey East. Of course, they've got the star freshman, Jack Eichel, ranked number two by NHL Central Scouting, will more than likely go number two in the draft behind Connor McDavid. Whoever gets him has a player who's ready to play in the NHL. He makes the players around him better. He's been playing on a line primarily with Evan Rodriguez and Danny O'Regan, who are outstanding hockey players in their own right, but they've just gelled, their chemistry just formed from day one. And with Coach Dave Quinn behind the bench, he really knows how to coach a team that has stars but also has the plumbers, so to speak. And he's put them together, and they believe in themselves. They finished in ninth place last year in Hockey East. This year they finished in first place. They won the Beanpot Championship. They won the regular season Hockey East Championship. They won the playoff championship. And they may win the national championship tomorrow night.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I want to ask you something about Eichel here. Obviously, you know, with the NHL draft coming up here, and, you know, I would have to say, and obviously up in Canada, there's definitely more focus on this, but the Connor McDavid sweepstakes here and the unfortunate talk about the tanking between the Coyotes and the Sabres here and maybe even the Maple Leafs here a little bit. But this tournament here for Eichel and what he's done in the Beanpot here, and too, do you think this helps him a little bit in terms of his exposure here, in terms of maybe possibly challenging for one or two there? What's your take on that? Do you think it's outright McDavid's going to, you know, go number one, or do you think Eichel has a real good chance to maybe take that spot away from him?
I do believe that Eichel has that chance to take that spot away. For the big reason being that McDavid is 18 years old and he's playing in the Ontario Hockey League, which is an outstanding development league for all of hockey, and players do go from that junior league right into the NHL, and they have been for years. And I will never knock junior hockey, either Canada or the United States. But Jack Eichel, he's 18, so he's a true freshman, and he's doing what he does. He leads the nation in scoring and in plus minus, and he's doing it against young men, primarily in college hockey. Freshmen aren't 18 years old. They're usually 19, 20, sometimes 21. So he's playing against players who are up to 24 years old. And he just dominates the ice. When he gets the puck, he just almost does pretty much whatever he wants to do with it. And hey, there are times you watch him play and you say, he's the man among boys out there on the ice. And knowing that, having that information, I think scouts, whether it is Buffalo, Arizona, Toronto, Edmonton, depending on what their team needs are also, Eichel could go first overall. It would not be a big gamble to take either one. But I think, in my mind, I think McDavid will go number one because he's a little bit faster, does things at a little higher speed than Eichel does. Eichel is almost like a David Krejci-type player. He does things at a high rate of speed, but he also can slow the game down. And he likes to do that and give himself good time and space with the puck. Help. He's more of a playmaker than he is a goal scorer, whereas McDavid is more of a goal scorer. So, again, whatever team needs, they'll go that route. But I would not be surprised to see Eichel go first overall.
Yeah, no, look, it's going to be exciting. Hey, for us here in the States, seeing American kids in the American program here, you know, you mentioned a guy like Gillies and that team from the World Juniors there that won the gold not too long ago. The U.S. program is doing great. And then, you know, it's funny, too, here, Sean, and we talked about this a little bit before. You know, I'm down here in New York, and, you know, Long Island's, 7 million people out here. We've got a lot of hockey rinks and everything. And then you have the Rangers and the Islanders here and the big move to Barclays and stuff. But in terms of, like, you know, collegiate or, upper tier level hockey, you know, before you get into, you know, there's no NCAA programs really around here in the area here too. And, you know, we sit down here in New York and we look up with you guys and, you know, Harvard, Yale and Providence and all this other great stuff. It's got to be amazing. You know, they talk about the state of hockey, Minnesota and Detroit hockey town and everything. I tell you, Boston, Massachusetts gives the rest of the country a pretty good run for that. Your thoughts on that in terms of the programs and the juniors and just the development of players in Massachusetts as well?
Well, that's it. I mean, Massachusetts has never had to take a back seat to Minnesota, to Michigan. They do outstanding jobs in developing players, but Massachusetts has done outstanding work in their own right with those players, as you say. I mean, and also the Keith Kachuks of the world, the Mike Ruzionis, Jim Craigs. You know, we go back to the 1980 U.S. Olympic team. Four players were from Massachusetts on that team. And every year, there are Massachusetts players on the United States national team development programs, under 17s, under 16s, under 18s. In the World Junior Tournament, we're seeing Massachusetts players more and more are being placed on those teams. And in this year's draft, it looks like there'll be quite a few players from Massachusetts chosen, or at least they're on Central Scouting's list. And it's something that Massachusetts hockey takes great pride in. They try to be a leader in player development from the 6-year-olds right on up through the junior players, and even the junior leagues that do exist in Massachusetts, the Eastern Hockey League, the United States Premier Hockey League. They're battling for the same players, but they get good quality players who want to learn, who want to play, who want to progress through junior hockey to the college ranks, to the pro ranks. And the hockey at those levels here is just outstanding hockey. And we will continue to see more and more players from Massachusetts go in and take jobs away from NHL veterans because they'll be ready to play when they step in.
That's great stuff, and a tip of hat to you and all the hockey moms and dads up there in Massachusetts, because it's a big part of it, making the U.S. proud there, getting these kids into the programs. And, you know, the closest thing we have out here is maybe Stony Brook University, and there's nothing really going on out here in Lynbrook, but in Long Island. But great stuff there. So the future looks bright, no doubt about it. All right, Sean, here we go. These Boston Bruins that you know so very well, one of the themes that we've been talking about here on the other programs on the network, and you look at the Kings, and you know, you'd hate to think maybe the Penguins at this point, but longevity, the long seasons, some of these guys getting a little older, tired, exhaustion, gameplay, game level. Tough loss last night, where they are in terms of, you know, the standings right now. It's not over yet, but let's start there in terms of, you know, yes, they're losing. They're in a bad shape. They can't control their destiny right now, but let's backtrack a little here before we get to the top, which is coaching and Chiarelli here and the GM and everything else. Talk about this team over the last few years, the Stanley Cup championship, and where they are right now. Team, Sean.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I've asked players this repeatedly throughout the season. Coach Claude Julien has been asked this repeatedly throughout the season. And of course they say no, that's not a case. That's not the case. But yes, I see it. I saw it last night with each progressive game over the last month, maybe month and a half. I've seen just players who you reach that point at time where the mind says go, you know, the old hockey expression, the mind says go, the legs say no. And I really believe that's one of the reasons why the Bruins are where they are. And you mentioned the LA Kings. Same thing there. Pittsburgh Penguins, San Jose Sharks. I think we will see it with the Chicago Blackhawks. If not this year, we'll see it next year. Because, yeah, as you said, they've played a lot of hockey over the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, I wrote a piece about it recently for the fourth period, and it was on the website, thefourthperiod.com, where I did a little research. And, I mean, Patrice Bergeron, between Stanley Cup playoffs, regular season, Stanley Cup playoffs, world championships, Olympics, and mm-hmm. players, the younger players like Dougie Hamilton, world junior championships, the veteran players like Patrice Bergeron, Dougie Hamilton, Zdeno Chara, Tuukka Rask, they've played between 450 and 500 games at this point over the last 4 years. That's a lot of hockey to play. And I know, as I mentioned on these other teams, those players have done the same. You know, the Kings winning 2 Stanley Cups in 3 years. Chicago getting to 3 finals. I'm sorry, 2 finals in 3 years, winning 2 Stanley Cups. The Bruins getting to 2 finals in 3 years. And then they put on a big push to win the President's Trophy last year. That took a lot out of the team physically and mentally. It sounds like an excuse, but it really isn't. I mean, it's just a fact that these are tired hockey players. And they want to win in the worst way. I can tell you from talking to them, almost on a daily basis. These are very proud players. They are very proud to wear the black and gold and have that spoke be on their chest. They want nothing more than to bring another championship to Boston. But again, you know, everyone gets up in the morning, goes to work. Some days are better than others because you have the energy. Other days you just don't have it. And I really believe that's where teams like Boston and LA and Pittsburgh, that's where they're at right now.
Okay, so Sean, let's just take a look at this game last night. With all that said, what did you see? Now, obviously, you know, Florida team, nothing to lose here. Obviously, they've been playing kind of well back end. You know, you look at teams like Columbus and obviously what Ottawa's doing here at the end of the season. But a lot of young guns in that team. And you look at it on the outside, you know, for myself here, that's just a game Boston has to have for obvious reasons. But you figure Florida, they can do this. Talk about the character on this team and what unfolded last night. 36 shots on net. Is it Tuukka Rask? Maybe some of the goals that got past them last night. Is it defensive end breakdowns? Talk about what you saw last night and obviously an easily obvious must win last night. What happened in Florida?
Yeah, there unfortunately it took two pucks got past them that even he admitted he should have stopped. The one shot that was a backhand shot went over his blocker side shoulder. He should have stayed up a little more instead of going down too soon. And he even said, I should have had it. That one. And then there was the shot that went five hole on him. He's struggled with the five hole this season. He's just not keeping the stick in place and the puck squirting through and getting through that five hole. Again, it's something that he works on. I see him work on it in practice, but it's just something that for whatever reason, he's still struggling with it. So there were those that went on last night. Defensively, yes, there were times that even I sat there saying, basically, what are you doing? You know, when it came time to not covering players in front of the net, not pushing players off to the side so Tuukka could see the shots, not winning puck battles in corners and behind the net. And again, I believe it comes down to fatigue. There has been a little bit of illness going through the team as well. A little bit of the flu has crept in again, which timing being everything, this is the worst time that it could happen. And again, it sounds like an excuse, but these are just the facts. You know, these are professionals. They are getting paid a lot of money. So that you say, well, go ahead and play through it. And they're trying. I can tell you that they are trying. The other thing is I'm seeing that when teams get behind and they want to really put on a push, when they're trying to break their puck out of their zone, the forwards at times will tend to leave the zone too soon before passes can be made from the defense. And I've been seeing that the last two games. So, you know, little mental errors can become big things, you know, just if they're repeated over and over. And that is what happened last night. And then when it's human nature, when Florida scored their third goal, you could see the wind really come out of the sails. And, you know, Bruins really, they kept working. They worked hard. They really did. And like I said, 36 shots on goal, that's not a bad night for any hockey team. Roberto Luongo played really well. I thought he was the number one star of the game. So, I mean, you had all those factors. You put them in, stir them up, and it comes out as a Florida loss. I mean, a Florida win, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of different factors there, and you bring up some great points, and, you know, it is the hardest trophy to win as far as I'm concerned, and it is the physical aspect of it, and it is also the mental aspect of it as well. Sean, you know that so very well. And let's stick with that here for a little bit, you know, in terms of your comments there, in terms of that type of a game, because sometimes, you know, I have no problem, Sean, you know, you can take being a fan of a team, you know, yourself being a correspondent, an analyst, and following a team and covering a team. I mean, this just happens. So the best teams will fall, and that's the Kings and Boston and the Sharks, like we talked about, in terms of, you know, success over the last few years. And then, you know, teams have to reinvent themselves. And you make a great point about, you know, Chicago and then St. Louis now. They have a lot of pressure on them as well going forward with Coach Hitchcock here. And then what happens is the core of the team and management and everything, and I know there's been a ton of talk about this in Boston in terms of breaking this team up, if, obviously, like I said, they're not out officially yet, but your take now on this core, and I was watching some of the post-game comments last night, pretty much by the book. I'm a huge Claude Julien fan, and, you know, what he's done here and with Boston and obviously getting the championship, trying to say the right things last night, but it's pretty much what else can you say when you're in this kind of situation? So let's start with Claude Julien there. What's your take on his, you know, what he's done this year with this team, and let's start getting into your thoughts on breaking up this core if they don't make it into the playoffs this year, and if they do, even beyond that.
Sure. I think I agree with you. I am a Claude fan. I am not I don't run and hide when I say that. There are many people out there who are screaming to have him lose his job as soon as the season is over. I'm not one of them. He's never missed the playoffs as coach of the Bruins since 06, I believe it is, or 07. And so this is just one of those years where this season he has really had to coach more and harder than he ever has. He's had to deal with injuries. He's had to deal with trades. He's had to deal with, you know, new lineups at the first half of the season. I mean, he was trying to find a wing that could play with Milan Lucic and David Krejci almost on a nightly basis. And then Krejci goes down with an injury. So Milan Lucic, there were days he didn't know who he was going to play with. So Claude Julien, I really think, did his best at trying to find the right combinations, trying to find the right chemistry among the forward lines, as well as the defense pairings. Losing Zdeno Chara for 19 games took a huge toll on the team. Bringing in Nicholas Svedberg from Providence to be the backup goaltender, it's taken him longer to adjust to the NHL game than expected and hopes. So again, Claude had to rely more on Tuukka. Tuukka has done his best. It's played, it'll be, I think, 70 games. Saturday will be his 70th game of the season. You know, so, I mean, it's a lot of hockey for these guys to play, but Claude is constantly doing everything he can to find the right lineup, to find the right mix. And I just believe that another season with this team, and I think they'll be successful again next year. Will they win a Stanley Cup next year? Who knows? But I really believe that they'll bounce back to be a playoff team. You mentioned the core of this team. You know, a couple years ago when the team was losing in Game 7 of the first round against the Toronto Maple Leafs, they were down 4-1 after two periods. Milan Lucic said after the game, I sat there on the bench thinking, is this the last time we're all going to play together? And that's going through their minds again. And I think that, you know, they were able to pull that game out. They won the game in overtime, and they went on to the finals before they lost to Chicago. But I really believe that that's going through their heads again. That team could pull that game out and win. This team just can't. Again, for whatever reason, the illnesses, there's not enough in the tank. Lack of experience. I mean, you have four rookies in the lineup and seven or six new players overall. So I just think that next year, given another year with a solid lineup with injured players coming back healthy, and I just really believe that Claude will be Claude and continue his winning ways next season, because this is a learning season. Also, you know, coaches never stop learning, players never stop learning. So I think this was a season where he learned more about his players, he learned more about himself, and I really believe that he should come back and be given another chance.
No, I agree with you. So let's jump a little higher here, Sean, and start, you know, with ownership. What do you think their thoughts on this situation is? And obviously, Chiarelli here, I think he's done a phenomenal job, too. I mean, you get to the finals, you win a championship, you get to a couple finals, obviously. What's your take? And I'm not, you know, you're obviously know this more than me. I don't know salary cap situations right now and certain contracts and everything. But if you were in the GM seat right now, number one, I'm going to ask you, you know, your thoughts on Peter here as the GM. What do you think ownership's thoughts are on this whole situation, and what options do you have as a GM on this team right now in terms of what you can break up, what you can do, you know, moving forward?
I think Peter Chiarelli should be given another year also. There are many people here who say, well, he messed up the team, he ruined the team. Well, he also built the team that won the Stanley Cup. So for the most part, you know, so I mean, again, it's salary cap being what it is. Every GM has to deal with it. He's dealt with it as best as he could. He's made a couple moves that weren't popular in dealing Tyler Seguin. That was something that was necessary. It had to be done. Also, there were others above it. It's not so much that he really wanted Seguin to go. There may have been some pressure from above him and that he had to make the deal. From what I've heard, that's a very possibility. He had to trade Johnny Boychuk to the Islanders. Great pickup for the Islanders, huge loss for the Bruins. But again, that was a salary cap situation where it had to be done. Could he have held on to him for another season and not traded him? Yes. But Boychuk was going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. So he got two draft picks for him, but at least he got something other than watching him walk and not getting anything. Draft picks can always develop into the next Boychuk. So that's, you know, that'll take some time. We'll wait and see. The higher ups, when Charlie Jacobs was introduced as the new CEO of the team, he was saying that if the Bruins don't make the playoffs, the season will be regarded as a failure, and everyone will be reevaluated and changes may be made. So that's his right; he can do that. You know, his dad owns the team, so it's in their hands. If I'm Mr. Jacobs, I give everyone, you know. Well, when I say everyone, I give Chiarelli, I give Coach Julian, I bring them in, I say, okay, look, set up this team to win next season and do your best or else we will make changes.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there, Sean, too. Because the other thing, too, is, I mean, the league, the parity in the league is so tough right now. You know, and you look at the Eastern Conference here and you look at, you know, even the Atlantic Division here, too. And, you know, obviously, you know, you can turn around. Some people might say, hey, look, oh, yeah, Toronto here and Buffalo here and so on and so forth. But it's really tough to to play in this conference right now, and it's equally tough to play in the Western Conference too. So, and what I'm saying is, when you have a core like that, you have some incredible star players on this team, some star power. Then maybe there are a couple of, you know, changes here and there, but I hope they keep this core together. I think they should keep Julian together. I mean, it's to get a high caliber championship winning coach like that in the league today is just incredibly hard to find. And again, you called it too. Peter's done such a great job here bringing the championship back to Boston. So I agree with you there. Now, Sean, looking forward here to tomorrow. And it's kind of cruel, I think, because the Senators play the Flyers tomorrow afternoon at 12:30. So you have this situation where you could have euphoria, obviously, and then, you know, if the Flyers, you know, do the Boston fans a favor here and take care of the Sens, you know, then you'll have that whole day, that whole afternoon to get pumped up to get to play a great team, Tampa Bay, here. So let's take your thoughts. Number one, your thoughts on the Sens here, this magic run, this I mean, because you got to look at it too, Sean. Any fans, of course, the Sens were nothing. You know, a couple. This is something that the Bruins, you would have thought, never would have had to worry about. They were in a playoff spot. They had it. I want to get your thoughts on the Sens here, and then let's look ahead forward to tomorrow's whole situation and what you feel might be the outcome, one way or the other, and in terms of how they, you know, they got to go gangbusters against the Bolts one way or the other. But it's kind of cruel that they may know at some point or another, like 3 p.m. tomorrow, that they're already out of the playoffs.
That's for sure. And the Senators have just been great, haven't they? They, you know, the Hamburglar is getting all of the attention since being brought into the fold to be in goal for the Sens. But, you know, Andrew Hammond has just been lights out since he came in. And, you know, it's proof there that goaltending wins, you know, can win. You build your team from the net out in every case. And no one expected, as you said, no one expected the Senators to be where they are right now. They seem to be, for most part, I'd say probably until Christmas or maybe even a little after, a good team. But, hey, you know what? They're a young team. They're building. And no one expected them to be contending for the playoffs. And then he comes in and all of a sudden things turn around. And they are a contender. And so hopefully the Flyers will want to be generous and help out their brethren to the north. Although there's that rivalry between the Bruins and the Flyers goes back to the 70s with the old Big Bad Bruins and the Broad Street Bullies. And so there really isn't much love between the two. But being professionals, the Flyers that they are, I'm sure they'll do everything they can to win the game, to end on a good note. They're also playing for jobs. So they won't go out there and roll over for the Senators. So we are hoping that come 7:30 tomorrow night, the Bruins will hit the ice saying, you know what, if we win this game, we're in. So, and for some reason, they seem to have Tampa Bay's number. Tampa Bay is one of the elite teams in the league, but they've lost 11 straight to the Bruins. You know, people here say, well, the Bruins can't beat Montreal. Montreal is in the Bruins' heads. Oh, in Tampa, I'm sure they're saying that about the Bruins. So hopefully that'll continue as well, and things, the chips will fall where they can, and the Bruins will be in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, no doubt it. The NHL certainly is setting up quite a lot of drama tomorrow, you know, for these final two spots here for the Eastern Conference playoffs. And obviously the Islanders have a chance to knock the Pens out here tonight as well, too. So lots of great stuff going on. Sean, a couple of things to wrap up before we close up this first show, Boston Hockey Show. And just for everybody listening, we'll be back here next week because one way or the other, if the Bruins move forward into the playoffs, obviously we'll keep going. And if not, we'll definitely going to wrap up the season. And we'll do a couple more here before the whole season definitely panned out. But I want to ask you this. If they do get knocked out tomorrow, what's one or two of your, let's take a positive note here, what are some of the bright spots that you saw this year on the team, whether it was maybe a couple of young guys getting a chance here, or maybe it was a couple of players that stood out through the adversity here, one way or the other. But give us at least one or two bright spots that they can look back on this season if they do get eliminated tomorrow, something that the Bruins should build on here going forward.
Well, I think the one constant is that Patrice Bergeron just continues to give 100% effort every time he steps on the ice. And, again, he's one of the elite players out there. He's won gold medals in the Olympics. He's won Stanley Cup. And he doesn't know anything other than leave it all out on the ice. And he's done that. He's a true leader on and off the ice. And he's someone that the Bruins will be able to rely on night in and night out for at least the next 6-7 years of his contract. The big surprise has been the play of rookie David Pastrnak. 18 years old, the youngest player in the league. But he's come in after a little bit of seasoning in the American Hockey League in Providence and then the World Junior Tournament. And he's come in and put up some decent numbers. And he's a first, second line, top six forward for sure. And his potential is limitless. The sky is the limit with him. So from this season, those are two of the things that we can take out of it and look back on and smile about and say, okay, this team is in good shape.
Good.
Those two anyway.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. I mean, you always got to look for the bright spots moving forward. But, hey, Shawnee, man, I hope things line up tomorrow. Hope we get a Boston win here tomorrow night. You know, and no offense to the Sens fans out there, but, you know, let's hopefully things work out for Boston. But one way or the other, man, great show today. Great start. We'll be back here next week and definitely going forward. Tell everybody, once again, where they can find you and tell them about the fourth period one more time and maybe what you got coming up this weekend in terms of commentary.
Okay, sure. Thank you. Yeah, I can be found on thefourthperiod.com. The word fourth is spelled out, F-O-U-R-T-H. So it's all one word, thefourthperiod.com. I'll be writing about what happens with the team so that come Monday they'll be able to see my assessment, whether it's the season is over or whether, hey, here we go, it's another playoff series coming up and let's have some fun with it. So that's where I am with that. And, you know, I really look forward to next week and the future with the Boston Hockey Show. I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
100%. No doubt about it, Sean. I'm looking forward to it, too. And, again, everybody, we're going to be doing our shows. You're going to have guests on, everybody in the Boston area, everybody, you know, NHL, of course, everything. So we're just getting started here with Sean. And, Sean, bravo to you, sir. Welcome aboard. So glad to have you here. Great talking to you today. Can't wait to do it again next week. Go Boston and have a safe weekend, buddy, and we'll catch up with you next week, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Paul.
You got it. Sean Hutchin, ladies and gentlemen, your host of the Boston Hockey Show right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network. And great having him on board here today and looking forward to the future. So thank you so much for tuning in 24/7 on HCW2.com and also on HCWRadio.com. As always, right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network. Enjoy your weekend. Good luck, Bruins. Go get them. Take care, everybody.